Thank you, Toby. Well, I need help, and we all need to be able to hear from God this morning as we look at His Word. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we've sung about the Lord Jesus being King of Kings. We heard about Billy Graham meeting our royalty this morning. But Father God, now we come sitting under Your Word. We come knowing that You will speak to us right here, right now. Help us all, Father, to be good listeners. Help me to be able to teach, and for us all to live in the light of this message this morning. For Your name's sake, I pray. Amen. So keep your Bibles open at that passage, 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I want to start really by asking you, if you could meet someone famous, someone that you'd really like to know, kind of get to know a little bit, I wonder who that would be. It might be a film star. Some of you are into your films. Maybe someone, I'm not going to list who that might be. It may be a sports person, someone from history, someone that maybe has kind of retired now, but you'd just love to meet them, to find out all about them. It may be a pop star, and whoever that is, you'll all have someone that you really look up to, someone that you would love to spend time with. Well, imagine not just meeting them and maybe having a selfie with them or an autograph with them, but imagine if you were able to spend time with them. Maybe if you went on holiday with them. Now that would be quite something, wouldn't it? Going on holiday with one of those people. Maybe not just going on holiday, but imagine if they said to you, use my car, you can go off and use my car. In fact, you can eat at all the restaurants that I eat in, and you can kind of have all the bling that I have. Be quite something, wouldn't it? And then imagine if they said to you, why don't you just stay in my place? You can have the guest bedroom. Or for that matter, you could have the guest wing. These are the kind of big houses we're talking about. It would be quite amazing. But then imagine if they were to say to you, I love spending time with you, Tim, or I love spending time with you, Dave, or Steve, or whoever it is this morning. Why don't you just move in? Why don't you just be part of the family? That would be quite amazing, wouldn't it? Well, this morning, in our reading, we discover someone that had no right, had no position in some ways to be at the king's table, but actually, by the end of the story, he has more than just tea with the king, but actually, he takes on what it means to be part of David's family. He gets all the privileges. He gets all the privileges of being part of King David's family. And we'll see this morning, as we've seen over the previous 3 or 4 weeks, that these episodes of the life of King David are actually an insight, a foretelling, a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When we discover that much of what we read and find out, the good parts, that is, about King David, actually reveals something of the character of the Lord Jesus. So we know so far that David has been brought to the throne. We know that he's a great leader. We know that he's established Jerusalem as the capital, that he's defeated great enemies. And God has made some significant promises just for him. So in chapter 7, verse 16, just over the page, you will hear this promise. Speaking to David, this is God, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. What a promise. Chapter 7, verse 16. Your name will be great for all time. Your house and your kingdom. This is no kind of flash in the pan, temporary thing, but forever. And he seals his greatness for all time. As we see in the chapter, in between chapter 7 and chapter 9, chapter 8, to discover that David conquers and defeats some great opposition. As we see him becoming the victor over many. And so, he can be described as a great king. So, this morning, we're moving from the kind of CNN news, the kind of Sky BBC news of the kind of great battles, of the great victories that he's encountered. We're moving from the macro, as it were, right down to the micro. We are going to have a little insight of who David is. And as we discover who David is, we see who the Lord Jesus is as we pick up the character of David, but also through it, Jesus. We go from, like I say, the global news down to the local news, down to whatever the local news is called. And we see, as I said, an insight of the Lord Jesus as we see the character of David. And this morning, if there's one thing I want you to remember, it's this word here, hesed. Hesed. And hesed, we'll see, means kindness. Means kindness. And this is the main point. This is the main point this morning. If you forget everything else I say this morning, remember that one word, hesed. Sounds better with a Welsh accent, I know. But hesed. And the word hesed means kindness. And this is what we discover as we see David, as he treats this man called Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth is a tough name to say. It's a tough word to say. See, Toby said it differently to the way I say it. We'd all say it in different ways. So I think I'm going to drop Mephibosheth's name this morning and just call him M. Okay, so when I say M, I mean Mephibosheth. See, I've got to think when I say that name, and I can't think and multitask. I'm a bloke, and it's tough to think about the name, to say the name, and then think about what I want to say. So please forgive me. And someone else will come up to me at the end and say, it's not actually Mephibosheth, it's whatever, as they roll off their tongue what they think the name should be. Anyway, back to the scripture, back to the story. So we discover through this name that David is kind. That's the main point this morning. Look down in your Bible. You will see this idea of kindness in chapter 9, verse 1, verse 3, and verse 7. 1, 3, and 7 makes a big point of describing David as having this word, this kindness, a loving kindness. Now, come on, you're thinking, kindness? That's a bit weak, isn't it? To be kind, is that all it is? Just to be kind, it's like, isn't there a better message you can give this morning than kindness? Well, actually, there's much to this word. Much to this word that we lose in our English. But in its fullest sense, the word hesed is love, mercy, or to g- give it its kind of one description of it, it means loving kindness. So remember this morning that Jesus has a loving kindness. And we'll unpack that as we see David and showing his loving kindness. And as we look on at this story, as we see David interacting with M, we will discover that M is just like you and me. We'll discover that M is just like you and me. But first of all this morning, if you're taking notes, we discover in this kindness, we discover an undeserved kindness. And we see it in Mephibosheth. I said it. Wow. In M. He's a young man. Not only is he a young man, that in itself is not a problem, but he's a young man who is crippled in both feet. Everyone has a story of why whatever it is has happened to them. And we know why M has been crippled. If you go back to 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, we read the following. Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. This is the key bit. His nurse picked him up and fled, but as she hurried to leave, he fell and became disabled. He fell and became disabled. At the age of 5, some of the children who we had here this morning, some of those on the front row are 5. But from that incident that took place, that was with him wherever he went and whoever he met. We don't like labels, but M would have had a label from that time on. M was the cripple. M was the one that was not useful for anyone. Couldn't do anything. Just pull him on the side. Couldn't work. Couldn't earn any money. The tragedy that took place for M defined him and the rest, you'd think, of his life. See, his name and his disability went together. He was labeled, no income. And also, we discover he was an orphan. An orphaned cripple. But there was much more to Mephibosheth than this. He was a living heir to David's rival, of Saul himself. We know and we've discovered over the previous few weeks that David was God's anointed one, God's choice. But there were people who were still fighting the battle for Saul, for Saul's cause, for Saul to be in charge. And there had been a long civil war. M was on that blacklist of people who could cause trouble. And he possibly was, I suppose, given a death sentence. But we discover that David refuses to do what you would think he would or he should do to get rid of him. David refuses to kill him. But there's a little clue about how M felt and his family and that kind of warring faction were. They were kind of literally as far east as you could go in the land. They were kind of contained far away from the king. And so when he is summoned by David himself, he expects the worst. That moment when you have to see the head teacher. You know, when you see the head teacher, it can only be bad news. That was my experience anyway. But when you have to be summoned to King David, that's not to get a knighthood or the equivalent. For him, for M, it would have been what he would have felt was curtains. Look down at verse 6. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. "David," said Mephibosheth. "At your service," he replied. And yet, this next sentence says it all. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Wow, that certainly wasn't what M expected. We know as his identity had been revealed, he thought that was it. And yet what was to come must have been the biggest shock, surprise, amazement that he would have heard. And before we move on, it gets us thinking. Again, as we think of ourselves, just like M, to realize that God doesn't want the so-called, well, he doesn't mind, but he's not looking for the people who think they've got it all together, the bravest and the best. He's not looking for the most talented, those with the most skills. That's often how the world thinks, isn't it? Whereby you have to achieve in order to be seen. And yet God's call is that he says, "Come as you are." And as we see the Lord Jesus in his life, Jesus went to those on the margins, those who were disabled, those who were seen as a waste of time. And yet we see the Lord Jesus showing chesed, showing loving kindness. And this is the heart of God, that he wants to show loving kindness, even to those who feel rejected, even to those where everything in life seems to have hit a brick wall. Wide open, arms open wide. So he loves to show his kindness to the people that the world rejects. But God also shows his kindness to those who don't deserve it. And we know this, don't we? That we are enemies of God. I was with someone on Friday that felt that they were friends with God. And yet as they described their life and their attitude towards God, they were certainly enemies of God. They were lovely. They even gave me a cup of tea. But that doesn't make you friends with God. We are all rebels. We all live life our way. And so we live life, don't we? In our way, we live by our rules. We are, as the Bible says, enemies. But the amazing story, the amazing news this morning is that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, if it was about getting right first, well, that would seem kind of logical. But it's while we were still sinners, whilst we were dead in our transgressions, that the Lord Jesus died for us. So, we've discovered that there is an undeserved kindness, but also we see the extent of his kindness. See, David was in his right to say, "M, get away." At best, you'd think maybe he'd say, "Go back to where you've come from. Keep your head down." Could have spared his life. But that's not what happens, is it? This is an amazing account of the generosity of David. He says, come and sit at my table. What a privilege. Not just one off. Now, some of you I know have been to the garden party in Buckingham Palace. You've got your photos on top of your TV, if your TV still holds photos. But this was not a one-off. This was far more than that, as we see. And it's emphasized four times. And verse 11, look at verse 11 for a moment. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. So this was what happened, that he was able to sit at the table like a son. He'd been adopted, not into any old family, he'd been adopted into the royal family. David also, we see, gives him an inheritance, gives him the land that belonged to Saul. But now he gets it as part of his inheritance. David's kindness goes even further. He brings some laborers, brings some servants to tend the land for him. They manage it. They maintain it. Everything is done just right. David shows God's kindness. There's no getting away from that from our passage this morning. See, God doesn't just save you from death and condemnation this morning as some kind of insurance policy. God doesn't just say to you, here's your ticket, you can now enjoy eternal life. But Romans 8 describes it in this way, that we are co-heirs with Christ. We share his kingdom and in all his splendor. We have literally been adopted into God's family. We are God's children. And he gives us an inheritance. He gives us all we need. He gives us all we need now. And he will give us, as we've talked about, eternal life. He gives us his word as we find out what it is to live for him. He gives us his spirit that enlightens his word, that gives us the resources to live for him. And he gives us each other. He gives us each other as the great, good, big family of God. Wonderful, wasn't it, to hear Deb's fiddler a few weeks ago, and she said, you know what, I've been here for a day, and I feel like your family. I feel like your family. And many of us have testified to that in our own lives as we've gone on holiday and we've gone to fellowships, and they've become and they feel just like family. And this is what we enjoy. We enjoy this. We are part of the family of God. And stop and think for a moment what that has cost. It's cost the Lord Jesus his life. And we have that inheritance. The best is yet to come. Don't lose sight of that, brothers and sisters. And then lastly this morning, it's the why. Why was the king kind? And you can see verse 1 and verse 7. Look at verse 1 and verse 7 again. David asked, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Verse 7, look again. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. See, David and Jonathan, as we know, as we've seen, were best friends. They should have been enemies. Jonathan was the son of Israel's first king, Saul. And they should have, like I said, been bitter rivals at the opposite sides. And yet, they were the best of friends. So much so that Jonathan promised to help David escape from certain death from his father. And when Jonathan helped David to escape and brought him into safety, he does request this of David. Listen to these words, 1 Samuel 20:14. No need to turn to it, just listen. Show me unfailing kindness, like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed, and do not ever cut off your kindness from my family. So it goes back there, you see, that the commitment, or what we would call the covenant, was made there. This unfailing kindness. Covenant, the word means a binding agreement. And this is the promise that David was keeping. David kept his promises. God keeps his promises. You see, hesed is rooted in a promise. Hesed is rooted in a promise. The promise of God that he will never change his mind about. See, through all life's events, God keeps his loving kindness. Marriage. Marriage is a great example, isn't it, of this loving kindness. Marriage, we know, is not based on feelings, but because we make solemn promises. And in the marriage ceremony, there is that sense where you will declare that you say, I will love you. Will love you. And it's easy on a wedding day when a husband and wife, when the husband looks gorgeous or the wife looks beautiful, I don't know how you describe it, but give it 6 months, give it 6 years, and the I will love you, that's the promise. That's the commitment. And this is the kind of promise that David made to Jonathan. And Jonathan shows this unfailing kindness to him. Verse 3, the king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? And we know this is what happens, that David shows God's kindness, God's hesed love. We can forget this, can't we, that God, when he says something, he doesn't change his mind. There's a very difficult teaching that I was chatting to Brian about on Friday, which is called open theism. That sense of God changing his mind. Totally against what the Bible says. When God says something, when we see it in Scripture, he doesn't go away from that. He sticks to his word. And to show God as hesed love describes his very character, you see. This is what God is like. He is a God, yes, of many things, but a part of his character is that he is a God of a hesed love, full of kindness. This morning, we started with Titus 3. Titus 3:3, listen to these words again. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness, the hesed, and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Hesed love, a love of God, a God who keeps his promises. This is the gospel. This is what our faith is built upon. Verse 3, we need saving. If you think you can save yourself this morning, think again. Have we forgotten this, that there was nothing that we could do in who we are that could save ourselves? All of God. Are we responding to this hesed love? God, show in verse 4 in that passage in Titus 3, he showed his kindness and love. Verse 5, his mercy. Verse 6, his generosity. Verse 7, his grace. Write that down. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 and following. Read it to yourself every day. If you forget what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing that we can do that can save us. It's everything of God's hesed love. Don't lose sight of that this morning, brothers and sisters. Have we appreciated this for ourselves? The hesed love. The hesed love. You know what? This morning, Sasha showed us that picture of Billy Graham with the Queen. Do you know what? Billy Graham now isn't with the Queen. He is with King Jesus. Why? Because of hesed love. Let's pray.